Hello, and welcome to the AERA Classroom Assessment SIG podcast. I'm happy to be starting our second podcast with two esteemed guests. We have Dr. Comfort Ate, who started her career as an agronomist and a PhD, and then she moved into education, PhD science education. She's an associate professor in Providence College, Rhode Island, School of Professional Studies in the Secondary Education Program. Her scholarly work on assessment focuses on formative assessment as a tool to enhance learning. She teaches an educational measurement course that focuses on classroom assessment to undergraduate secondary education majors. Hi, Comfort. Welcome, and thanks for coming.
Thank you, Erin, for having me.
And then our other guest, his name is easy to remember, is Erin, just like me, Wingowski. And he's a social studies teacher for Niskayuna Central Schools, a suburban district outside of Albany, New York. He's been teaching at the secondary level in grades 6 to 8 over the past 8 years, working in both private and public schools. Hi, Erin. Thank you for coming.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you. So let's get to it. The two of you collaborated on a paper concerning enhancing formative assessment in social studies and histories classes. How did you two come to work together?
Well, Erin was one of my students in my educational measurement course. Erin, what semester was that again?
Oh, that was back in, must have been 2012 or 2013.
2014. So Erin was one of my students, and I was teaching this course in which the focus is on classroom assessment. And in engaging students to think about assessment, I usually would really have them to think about the new paradigm shift from assessment of learning to assessment for learning. And because my doctoral work was on formative assessment, and I have so much respect for that construct, I always engage students in their different content areas to think about formative assessment. So Erin, who was really interested in formative assessment, collaborated with me in exploring how formative assessment can enhance students' learning in history and social studies. And that is how we actually got to work on that paper, because Erin took that tool and immediately also explored the learning progression, which is an attribute of formative assessment. He looked at the Common Core State Standards, and I was so intrigued in how Erin actually identified the Common Core State Standard as a tool that really informed him in looking at formative assessment in the social studies. And immediately, I also got interested because science is my background, but now trying to think about formative assessment in the social studies, Erin actually got me excited about it. That is how we actually started exploring and looking more into how the Common Core State Standards can be used as a tool to enhance formative assessment in social studies.
Yeah, just to add on to what Comfort said, the big thing that I was thinking back to that time period was the Common Core was huge. It was just kind of coming out newish. And as a student making lesson plans, a student teacher making lesson plans, I would just throw in a bunch of standards. And then one day I just thought to myself, like, really, I'm going to be able to build their ability to identify central ideas, evaluate perspectives and all that in one lesson. And it got us thinking, like, that's not really possible. That's really a process that we're working on throughout the year. And the standard we're building for each kid can be different based on their learning needs. So kind of working to build those skills, we kind of in our paper thought of it as like a staircase of learning progression to build those higher level skills throughout the year. And that's kind of how I got interested in the topic. And from there we got working and wrote our paper.
Nice. Tell me a little bit about the paper. I know you worked with pre-service teachers, yes?
Yes, I do. At Providence College, the pre-service teachers here are undergraduate students, so they are in their different content areas. And so they are getting their degree in their content area at the same time getting certified as secondary education teachers. And in my work with these pre-service teachers, it can be really challenging because, again, as I say, they are taking their different content and then they're coming to the secondary education program to learn about assessment. And so in working with students who come from different content areas, it can be a little bit challenging for me because my own domain of content is science. And so how do I engage students in English language arts or in social studies or foreign language or in math to think about assessment the way I would engage a science content student to think about assessment? I mean, it's true, there are those overarching themes that we talk about in assessment, irrespective of the content area, but there are also some specific themes that you need to be conscious about when you are looking at assessment in the different content areas. And recently, the book that Margaret Heritage and Caroline Whaley wrote on formative assessment in the disciplines also reiterate that idea for me, that we need to look at assessment and specifically formative assessment with the different content areas in mind. There are specific things that we need to think about. So Aaron kind of helped me to think about formative assessment in the social studies using the Common Core state standards. That is not something that I would have easily thought about because in the social studies area, they are looking at primary, secondary studies, sources. They are engaging students in reading text, videos, and all the like. These are things that are coming to me now that I'm teaching all these students in different content area. So with years, I have become versed with all these different content, but again, it's still work in progress. And I still continue to be excited in knowing the different ways that the different disciplines are employing formative assessment in their teaching to enhance students' learning.
I like that. So it really has informed your practice. Working with Aaron has made you sort of think about those other disciplines. That's wonderful. Yes. Aaron, how has it helped you inform your practice? I know you are a social studies teacher. Have you employed some of these ideas since you've gotten into the field?
Yeah, absolutely. So just a little about my teaching styles. I'm a big on kind of project-based learning where there's a big project where kids do research and display their learning in some kind of way. And when you're a new teacher, you're just like, oh, I'll make a rubric. It's going to be great. Like the kids are going to do awesome. They're going to look at the rubric and all that good stuff. And then quickly you realize like, okay, that's not how kids actually work, especially in middle school. I used that knowledge of what we had put in that paper and really worked to, I think a lot of it starts with the planning process. And I think as teachers, we need to first recognize that we're a team, right? So I think special ed teachers are huge in helping me develop these assessments that are going to be effective for all students. And then I kind of just think about the skills that each of my individual students is trying to build. So it's like, okay, these kids, I really want to be able to just like pull out one main idea from the research article that I give them. Where this kid, I want to find an article on their own and evaluate multiple perspectives on that topic. And when you have an eighth grader, there's a wide range. Some kids can be pushed that way where other kids are reading at a third grade level, right? So the goal for each student and what standard you're trying to build is different. And that's a challenge. So I originally worked with in a private school with like 10 to 12 kids in a class. I really felt like I could do that there. And then you move to a public school of 25 to 30 kids and it's more challenging. So it's not something I've mastered by any means, but I think through collaboration and really getting that effort to know your individual students, you can push them to build some of these skills throughout the year.
Yeah, Aaron has mentioned something that reminds me again about the basic model formative assessment that I bring to all my undergraduate students. And then they take it from there and then they are thinking about the other things, right? This basic model, it looks so simple, but with time, I have realized how sophisticated and complicated it can be, right? When we look back to the seminal work of Black and William, when they actually defined formative assessment and then stated that it was the single most important tool that any teacher can use to enhance learning. And you look at that definition and it looks so simple that it seems it's a one-way thing where the teacher just simply would ask students questions and then get students answers and then give them feedback and then you close it. No, with time, especially using and understanding the basic model that includes the teacher and all the students, everyone being engaged in thinking on what is it that the students know. So to my undergraduate students, as Aaron says, it starts with the planning. And I usually have this mantra that if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail in the teaching. So actually thinking from the lesson plan and asking yourself, what is it that my students are supposed to know, which is informed by the standards? And the students also need to actually understand what the standards, what is it that you are teaching them? What is it that they are supposed to know? And then you come back to this second question of, what is it that my students know now, right? My science students or math or social studies or foreign language, they have different ways in trying to understand what is it that their students know at any time of the teaching, right? How are you going to elicit their knowledge to know what they know at a particular moment? It's different from social studies. It's different from science, where in science we are talking about using something as a phenomena that will help students to tell or to share with you their authentic knowledge, which you would need to be able to determine what is it that they already know. And then the third question is, how would the students close the gap between what they know and what they are supposed to know? And for you, the teacher, how would you help the students close that gap? So these three fundamental questions, they apply to all the content areas. However, the way, the strategies that the teachers or the students in the different content areas are going to use to make their learning or their knowledge visible for them, the students, are for the teachers to use, because everyone is engaged in this business of formative assessment. Both the teacher and the students are all engaged. How would all of them at the same time be thinking about these questions so as to close the gap? And as Aaron says, it's very challenging. It's so complex that to me, when I see teachers or anyone say, oh, I implement formative assessment in my class, I cringe and I'm like, do you really know what formative assessment is? That thing is so complex that even after teaching for 10 years, after my graduate degree on formative assessment, I am still searching for ways to become very effective.
So interesting to hear the two of you speak about it, because I know exactly what you're saying about, you know, trying to help teachers conceptualize how nuanced this concept is. But I also hear Aaron addressing that nuance when he talks about like making individual decisions for each of his students, what they need for their project. It's nice to hear the two of you on the same page on that. I think it's interesting, and I'd love to hear both of you speak to it. How do you help pre-service teachers? I know that this is a lot. I've been teaching for many years and I'm still chewing on it just like you are. How do you help pre-service teachers internalize some of these questions to ask themselves?
Yeah. Aaron, that is $1,000 question. And I can tell you that from the beginning of the semester, we have a 15-week semester here. And I can tell you, even towards the 12th or 13th week, I still see my students referring to formative assessment as a thing that they do. Or I'm going to use exit ticket as a formative assessment. Oh, I'm going to give this test and it's going, and I'm that's just like, Can you please tell me what we have learned about formative assessment, that it is a process and not something that we do, that it is something that is ongoing, where we continue to present opportunities for students to reveal their knowledge to themselves and to us, so that the students will have access to their authentic knowledge, and you, the teacher, also would have access. And then you, the teacher, and the students are all working to see how you can enhance that knowledge. If there are misconceptions, how would the students get to know their misconceptions, or you, the teacher, and what other ways you can engage the students so that they can actually appreciate their misconceptions and think of ways to construct authentic knowledge. And I am always very excited when towards the end of 15 weeks, because it's something that you have to do over and over. And why? Because my undergraduate students, they go to their clinical placement site where they are working with veteran teachers in their content areas. And unfortunately, and the literature tells us how vendors have stolen this concept of formative assessment, and they are labeling different tools, they are labeling different tests and stuff. They call them formative assessment so that districts and teachers should buy them. And these students, they go to their clinical experience sites and they see the way that this construct of formative assessment is used. It's kind of like different from what they are taught in the classroom. And so they are challenged that formative assessment, oh, there is a formative assessment test. Oh, formative assessment is a process. It gets so challenging. And to me, it's something that experts in assessment, or anyone who is so passionate about formative assessment, should continue to work on and continue to engage others in professional development to help our teachers in the field, because we are trying our best in our teacher education program to make sure that our students get what formative assessment is. But when they go out in the field and they hear something else, it becomes a challenge. But to me, it's one of those tools that at the end of 15 weeks, I make sure that my students actually understand what formative assessment is. They're not just listening to me. I get the most recent articles or publications on formative assessment. I tell them what the authors of formative assessment or experts are talking about. And I can tell you that I'm always so excited, because at the end, students might still be making few errors by saying an exit ticket is formative assessment. But overall, I see that their exit, when they are graduating from our program, when they are writing their reflection, and they refer to the educational measurement course, and they consistently say formative assessment was the most important tool that they learned, that they took with them to their student teaching and engaged them in being effective as teachers.
There's always so much discussion about that theory practice divide, isn't there? When we, you know, we're talking about this in theory, but when we get into practice, does it always look the same? Are we even speaking the same language? Mm-hmm. I like how you put that. So Erin, as a practitioner in the field then, talk to me about that transition from, you know, working as a, you know, as a pre-service teacher writing this, and then really, you know, I know your process is still growing, but how do you work on that iterative formative assessment process with these students to make sure you're gathering information, they're gathering information, everyone's growing together?
So yeah, one of the things that as a pre-service teacher, you write these lessons, you're like thinking to yourself, wow, this is a great lesson. Like, this is going to go fantastic. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it does for half the day and terrible the other half of the day, right? But what I really learned is, it's, as Comfort said, it's really a process where we're all involved in it, right? Students, one of the biggest things I took away from becoming a teacher was students want you to just instantly help them, right? And it's actually easier for me to just give them the answer. It's easier for me, but that's not the best thing for the kids. So when I'm going around the room assessing something, I need to sit down and have discussions with the kids. And instead of just giving them an answer, talk it through, listen to them, talk it through with them, lead them towards that answer and get them towards that understanding. And I think that's a really important step in the process, is showing the kids that you're not just going to give them everything they want. They're going to have to work for it as well. And I think that's important to building those skills. So working with a kid in sixth grade, they want all that help right off the bat. And towards the end of the year, I want to see them kind of problem solving on their own and showing that they've developed some of the skills that I want them to develop. Because at the end of the day, as a sixth grade social studies teacher, it's not super important that they know the years that Mesopotamia reigned. It is super important that they learn literacy skills and problem solving skills and critical thinking skills that will help them in the future, because they're going to get the social studies content again in high school when they're more ready to kind of grasp that at a deeper level. So that's kind of my mindset as a teacher, is yes, I want them to know about the history, but I really want them to be prepared for later learning and their careers as well.
And how explicit do you make that to the students? Like, as sixth graders, do you tell them, like, I'm really interested in your skills here, or do you just model for them?
Yeah, I don't straight up tell them, like, it doesn't matter to me too much if you know this social studies content. But I do try to stress this idea that you might not love social studies, but there's a good chance in your job one day you're going to have to do a presentation in front of people. You're going to have to write something. You're going to have to read a lot. And those skills are really important. So I constantly give them that idea that it's okay if you haven't mastered this yet, but you've got 3 years here in middle school and we want you to get that down. And so you're ready to be successful in your schooling later on. And that kind of comes from as a student, I feel like I wasn't prepared going into high school. And I really kind of want, one of the reasons I love middle school is I want to give them the skills and help them develop those skills that will help them be successful right off the bat in high school.
So I did have one more question. This question is for Comfort. We have in our SIG, our newsletter has a what we've been reading section. And I noticed you recently published a book review. So I was wondering if you'd like to tell us a little bit about what you've been reading.
Oh, yeah. The book that I reviewed was by Margaret Heritage and Caroline Willey, Formative Assessment in the Disciplines, Framing a Continuum of Professional Learning. And honestly, when I see anything with formative assessment attached to it, I don't let it go. So it's like, you name what has been published, it's something that is accessible to me. I've read it. And this book was actually really important to me. And once I started reading it, it was to me like one of those novels that you take and you are there, you don't want to let go. It talks so much to me. And the fact that it was looking at formative assessment in the disciplines actually intrigued me, considering the fact that I am teaching an educational measurement course that involves students in different disciplines. How, you know, I mean, to me, it was just like, yes, I've been looking for this. I've been looking at my students in the different content areas, actually relying on them to help me. But now this is a resource that can actually help me to think more about the different content areas. Granted, there are other literature, other authors have written about it, about the different content area, but to see everything assembled in this book kind of actually attracted me. And in reading the book though, although I was kind of like impressed with its content and having learned so much about formative assessment as a system, I was trying to make sure that I identify all the elements that I personally thought were interesting or were mentioned in it. One thing that I thought could have made the book really more engaging, and that is something that I am really reading more on these days, is assessment for equity. And Aaron kind of like mentioned a little bit on knowing your students, your individual students. Who are your students? when you're thinking about eliciting their knowledge, when you're presenting, whether it's the PBA that Aaron is talking about, the project for the students, how are you thinking about the students? What kinds of projects? How are you going to ask questions? How are you going to interpret what they say to you? How are you going to give feedback? So this current construct on teaching for or assessment for equity has really been of interest to me. And currently I'm reading a lot. I'm really reading a lot on assessment for equity. And that is one thing that I thought was a bit missing in Heritage and Willie's book. They mention it very superficially. And even when you go to the next generation science standards, which is in my field, the sciences, assessment for equity or thinking about individual students is kind of like an add-on to the volume of the next generation science standards. But then I am now thinking that it is a very important element when we are thinking about formative assessment. If you do not know who your students are, thinking about their identities, the cultural background, where diversity here is not just the race, it has to do with sexual orientation, it has to do with their socioeconomic status, it has to do with their everything that you want to think about when it comes to identity, which is so broad, looking at identity in the broad sense. And that itself is very complex, right? We are talking here about being culturally competent, right? We have educators like Gloria Ladson-Billing who have already talked so much about cultural competent teachers or cultural responsive pedagogy. And all those things, elements are very important to have formative assessment effective. And that is why, to me, it is so challenging for us to be effective in formative assessment, especially when you start thinking about students' identity. So currently, if you ask me, Erin, my list of books or literature that I'm looking at and looking at to enhance my knowledge on formative assessment is anything that will help me to think about assessment with respect to equity.
Thank you for that. And I agree with everything you said, and Ladson-Billings is so amazing. But I think about that a lot, and I caught it when Aaron said it too, that getting to know those students and helping them form their project, that's really key, right? Because it also, it will motivate them. They'll feel like ownership of those things. I don't know, Aaron, if you want to speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this is a process that I'm definitely working on as well. Comfort and I have talked about it a good amount too. But knowing the student, and in social studies, giving student choice, even on what they do for a final product, let them play to their strengths to show you what they know. And that's different for each kid. So having a topic that engages them is really important. And then being able to show their learning in a way they're comfortable is also good. So I think that's a huge part of teaching is knowing your students, and that goes into the assessment process. And it's something that you start at the beginning of the year, and we're only a couple months in, so it's something I'm still working on right now for this current group of kids I got.
Really wonderful. This was a wonderful conversation. I really want to thank both of you for joining me this evening and spending your time talking about assessment with me, which is one of my favorite topics. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.